So this morning, as we're looking at chapter 12, Nehemiah chapter 12, we're gonna go skip from verse from Nehemiah 12, 1 through 26. We're just gonna kind of skip that. Not because it's not important, but because I'm not interested in reading all those names this morning. But listen, you can do it. You can go back. Don't do it now. Don't read it while I'm here. But you can go back and you can read it later, and then you can see, because you might get hung up on a name or two. And so as we look at this, we see that Nehemiah has been called. Ezra was called to build the temple. Nehemiah was called to build the wall. They're putting the city back together. They're putting the people back together. They're bringing unity. They're bringing the family enclosed, if you will. They're bringing the family together so the family can be a part of everything that's going on. The family being the Israelites. And so we see as Nehemiah progressed. By the way, next week, I don't know if anybody's read chapter 13. Some have. Chapter 13 is a little hard. So we'll worry about that next week. But this week we're going to focus on praising Jesus. Because as they go through the book of Nehemiah, and you see Nehemiah, and you see him progressing, and you see the battles that they take, and yet the leadership hung in there, and Nehemiah was strong, and he led the people, and the people said, hey, you know what? God is good, and we're gonna do what's right, and we're going to follow God. And then their homes come together, their wall comes together, their temple comes together, their entire being, if you will, comes together. Because let me just say this. If you are spiritually out of whack, you're out of whack. I mean, if you are spiritually, you can be financially out of place and your life can still be okay. You can, listen, there's so many ways that you can be disrupted in your life and you'll be okay. But man, when you're spiritually disrupted, your life is tough. I'm just telling you, when I know that my prayer life isn't right because maybe I get too busy or I put so many other things on my plate, and then all of a sudden I go, wait a minute, man, I have not been spending time with God, who has blessed me and given to me and done so much for me, and yet in the process of pursuing, I've forgotten God. And so then you back up. You realize things are getting hard, and you start looking at your life and go, man, what have I left? What's changed? And all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I haven't been spending any time with God. I need to get back. And man, when you're spiritually out of whack, you're out. And so they realize this, and they come in, and the Israelites, they sign a commitment. I am committed to serving God, our God, the living God, the God who changes lives, the God who protects nations, the God who delivers us from the hands of the evil one, the God who blesses us. I'm signing a commitment that I am sold out to that God. The only God. The rest of them are little g's. He's big G. They signed this commitment. Now, I know, I realize that today commitment is kind of like the new curse word. Commit. I can't commit to that. I might have something come up that day. Well, that's why you commit to it. Oh, no. We can't do that. I don't know what it is about commitment that everybody's so afraid of. Because the reality is nothing better comes along than serving Jesus. It just doesn't. It might be for a moment, but it's only a moment, and then it's fleeting. It's away. But man, when you hook on to God, whoo, that doesn't fade away. When you praise Jesus, that doesn't fade away. And that's what the Israelites were doing. They got through all of that. They realized, man, God has put us back together, and now we're going to praise Him. Now they're coming together, and they are realizing that praise kind of ties everything in and makes it the whole package. You get what I'm saying? Without the praise of God, they're not getting... It's kind of like leaving things unfinished. Okay, God put all this together. Now what do? We praise Him for putting it all together. They come to this realization. As we go through this, the chapter is unmistakably about celebration and praise. That's what the whole chapter 11 is about. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16 through 17, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So we see in Colossians here that to give praise is an act. It is a decision on our part to praise Him in our hearts. It's our decision. It is a purposeful act where you decide to praise Jesus. You decide to praise God. I wrote this down because, you know, sometimes, sometimes a great thought comes in your head and you go, "Man, that's good. I'll never forget it." And then 10 minutes later, "Man, what was I thinking?" Right? Right? Anybody been there? Yeah. So what I decided to do when this thought came into my head, I said, I better write it down. So I wrote it down in my sermon notes. Praise is not what you get out of it, but what you put into it. Praise is not about what you get out of it. You know, people say, "I love to praise and I love to worship." And by the way, I do too. But it's not what you get out of it that really matters. It's what you put into it. Are you putting your heart into it? Are you praising God, or are you looking to get a feeling and emotion back? It is what you give to God. That's what praise and worship is. It's giving to God. So when some people go, "Well, I don't like the music. I don't like the videos. I don't like..." Go to school, play the piano, come back, learn how to teach or sing, and we'll let you lead. "Oh, I can't lead." It's that commitment thing. The videos are committed, I'm just saying. They're in there, man. It's praise Jesus. But you know, it's not about, "Well, I don't like the videos, so I'm not gonna sing." It's, "Oh God, man, I want to sing to you today. I want to praise you today. I want to give back to you today. Not because of anything other than the fact that you've given me so much." That's what praise and worship is. It's giving to God. It's singing your heart out to Him, not waiting on it to come into you. It's when you sing it out to Him, that's when the Holy Spirit comes alive in you and you get what you're looking for. See, we have it in reverse. We're waiting on it to be delivered to us, when the actuality is we need to give it to God, and then He delivers what we're looking for. So praise is not what you get out of it, but what you put into it. Horns. Just think where we're going, you won't hear that. I'm so excited about this new place. By the way, that's just our intro. Ephesians 5:19 through 20 says this: "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you notice in that verse there, look, it's what? It's giving thanks. It's we have to purposefully give to God. It's an act that we do to God, for God. And it says, so what it says here is, in the beginning in 5:19, it says speaking to one another. So we speak, we have to actually do, and then we give, so we have to do again. It's about us putting into it. And that's when we get what we're looking for. So I got 2 points today. I didn't give any handouts. I apologize for that, for those who that absolutely disturbs this week. But you do have a bulletin, so you can make notes on the back of your bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin, don't stress out. Somebody will give you one, I'm sure. Ask your neighbor and then get one for them afterwards. So the first thing we're going to look at is the place of praise. Because, you know, it's all about the praise. So we look at the place of praise. And in Nehemiah, let's look here first in Nehemiah 12:27. "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites and all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps." And it goes on. For sake of time, I'm not going to read 28 through. But look, right there, where's the place? Jerusalem. They come together in God's holy place to worship and to praise God, to sing hymns to Him, to sing songs to Him. Why? Because they are so thankful for what He's done. Are you thankful for what God's done? And if you are, do you have a place? Is there a place that you go to praise Him? You know, church, we come to praise God. But the reality of it is, praise is in your heart. Now, we still have to come to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, go to church. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So you have no way out of coming to church. Just make that clear. I didn't want anybody leaving going, hey, pastor said I don't have to go to church to praise God. I can just do it right here at home, so I'm staying home. No! I'm not saying that. I'm saying, no, you can praise Jesus anytime in your heart, wherever you're at. You don't need to come to church. You can do this. You can praise Jesus outside of church Monday through Saturday. Sunday, you praise Him in the house of God. So the wall had been built. It was done in 152 days while under attack. They realized everything that was going on. They knew everything they had been through. And they come together in the place that God had built and put back together to praise Him. And they realized, listen, the job was not finished. Even the wall was built, the temple was built, but the job was not finished if we didn't come together and praise God for what He had done. Because let's face it, without God having intervened on their behalf, they would never have gotten the wall finished. The odds were against them. Listen, every nation around them wanted to attack Jerusalem and stop the wall from being built. Remember the Tobias? He said, listen, man, even a fox would run across that wall and that wall would fall down. They can't do it. And then all of a sudden, well, let's send people in and attack from within. Let's attack from without. Let's attack the leader. Let's attack, attack, attack. And yet God delivered them every time. They realized that, and so now they're going, you know what? We're going to praise God, because that's like the capstone to finishing this. Giving God the glory. Man, I think we fail so many times to give God the glory. I wonder how often we forget to praise God and to worship Him for what He's done. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Think about where you're at, where you live, what you do, what you drive, how God has provided for you your every need. And I said your every need. And then there's sometimes He provides your every blessing. Or He just provides blessing enough to just keep you looking to Him. Because He knows if He overwhelms you, you'll quit looking at Him. You ever notice that? Do you forget to praise Him and thank Him for that? Man, even when times of our hard and struggles come, you still got to praise Jesus. I was blessed yesterday by John and Cindy came down to see the church. And of course, John comes with a hat on that makes him look like he's got hair. And he's listening today. You don't have hair, John. And so, and then he has, you know, his mustache. Remember, John had a real thick mustache? Okay, well, he doesn't have a thick mustache now. I don't think he did, does he? No, it's gone. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, he can't grow hair. And so he has his iPhone out and he holds it up with a picture of a big mustache, right? So I'm thinking, hey, that's John, man. He's back. Still ugly as ever, but he's back. And I was praising God because, you know what? John's just thankful of how God has worked in his life. Wow, man, what a soldier that he has been and Cindy has been to go through all this. And he's still thankful. He's praising God. So much so that when he goes and sees his doctors, who were shocked that he's actually doing good, they went, oh, wow, you really look good. Wow, you look good. Okay, I guess we can go on with the treatments. And they tell him, they remind him, it's because you're a man of faith. It's because he shows his faith. Man, he's praising God through all of this. He's still praising God. And we need to do that. And usually, it's not until things go wrong that we notice how good that we had them. Right? We forget how good they are until they're gone, and then we go, wow. Man, we need to praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, it doesn't mean that the trial you're going through is the will of God. The will of God is to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in everything, and to rejoice always. That's the will of God. Why should we do that? Why is that the will of His? Because if we do that, we stay focused on Him and not the issue at hand. We don't get consumed with what's beating us up. We're consumed with what's saving us. You know, if you were drowning and you were almost drowned and you see a boat come by and throw a life preserver, you don't focus on the drowning part. You focus on the life preserver, right? That's what it is with God. And that's why he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, keep your eyes on me. Because you need to see the deliverer, not the one drowning you. This is the will of God. You know, it's suddenly hard to praise God when we're out of practice. If you're not used to praising God, you're going to struggle to all of a sudden start praising God. So let me say this, get into practice. Start practicing praising God. What do you got there? All right. Popcorn testimony. Who knows what popcorn testimony is? I'm just going to tell you because if you go over, then somebody else will shoot you, not me. Popcorn testimony is a quick, I praise Jesus because, not a story, not a book. I praise Jesus because, popcorn testimony. I praise Jesus because, somebody. Yes. He's in control of things even when control freaks are not. Absolutely. Yes. I'm sorry? Praise God for her grandchildren. Amen. Who else? Yes. Jesus loves you. Yes. Amen. Praise God because Jesus loves me and you and everybody. Yes. He's always there. You turn around and you think you're alone. You turn around and there stands Jesus, ready to deliver you and carry you through and take care of you. Amen. Anybody else? Yes? He always shows us the way, right? Isn't that what Psalms say? He lights the path of our steps. Amen. Anybody else? The cross. The cross. Wow, that kind of summarizes it, doesn't it? The cross. Man, we can give thanks and we can praise if we just stop and think about how good he is. You know, I've been here almost 7 years in New York, and I still struggle with, man, this state doesn't know how to budget money. Ugh! I struggle with that. So I got up, this is how bad it is. I got up this morning and I looked out and I go, wow, it's raining. That means we have a lot of salt out on the roads. Because all they need now is a forecast of a cloud and they're dumping salt on the road. No snow, but the roads are white under salt. And so it drives me crazy. Why are you putting salt out there? I was following a truck the other day. Matter of fact, we were coming out of Latham. And coming down the hill. Sun shining. Forecast was clear. The next day was the forecast was clear. There's no snow calling for freezing rain. Nothing. And yet we're following a salt truck who opened the floodgates of salt pellets. Man, it's just flowing out. And I look at my wife and I go, where's the snow? Stop that truck. Drives me crazy. And then my wife reminded me. She goes, you know, I just praise God because he always pays our bills. Even though I am out of sorts with foolish spending, my wife reminds me, we got the electric bill for the new facility. We got it in the mail. I felt tingling in my left arm. we get the bill in the mail. $1,000 for gas and electric. Be still. And my wife goes, listen, it's God's money. If that's the way he wants to spend it, let him spend it. And I go, that's a great way to look at it. I just can't quite grab hold of it. Right? Am I alone? Anybody else? Go, I'm not alone. Somebody say I'm with you. Amen. 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 Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. So I have to remember, that's my wife's line every time I get a little worked up because I'm thinking, man, we can spend money in better places. And she goes, it's God's money if that's the way he wants to spend it. Thank you. Now get out. Let me go through my moment. So anyway, what happens is when things get tough, it's hard to praise God, isn't it? But man, if you just stop and really look at how good he is, all of a sudden it gets easier. And you know, now that I'm reminded of, I had forgotten about it, the budget of New York, and so I was good. Now I gotta rest a moment. But no, God is good, because you know what? This church has defied every Connecting Point Church should not exist today, according to the world and its standards. We didn't start this church with a team. We haven't had a worship leader or a band 6 years. Think about that. We started in a school. We get kicked out of school because it was evil, I know. For those who have been with us since the beginning, they got it. The school says church is bad for our image. You got to go. God opens the door. We get up here. This place was so broken up and cut up and walled up. It was unbelievable. People didn't like that, so they left. And then we started tearing down walls and building and putting together. And we went from running 75 when we left the school to 50 when we moved over here. And then I made the statement that if you're not going to serve God and you're not going to give to His cause, and you're not going to grow spiritually, then go home, don't come back, don't go to another church, because they don't need you either. And so I don't know if that was a God pruning or a pastor pruning, but we went from 50, we dropped down to 28 to 32. They took me serious. They went home. They never came back. Our expenses at the school were $800 a month rent. To here was $2,350 a month rent. And then I tell people to go home. And then you come in the next Sunday and you go, wow, where is everybody? We're meeting down there. We didn't have this place up here yet. And yet God kept literally tearing down walls and opening doors. And we get over here. And then we have this place open up where we're going into. God's good. I think about all that's happened, and as a pastor, and this is my first church that I've pastored. I've been in the ministry almost 18 years, but this is my first pastorate. And I told God, I said, God, I'll agree to go to Bible college, but I'm not going to be a pastor. First lesson, don't ever tell God what you're going to do and not do. And I said, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. I'll do whatever you want, but I'm not going to be a pastor. So you realize that? I'll do whatever you want, but I'm not going to be a pastor. And then God calls me to pastor. All right, God, I'll go anywhere but New York. I'll even go to Kentucky. God says, no, you won't. You'll go to New York. Thank you for saving me from the rednecks, I guess. I don't know. So I come to New York. If you're from Kentucky, forgive me. So I come to New York. And I just sit back. And I watch how God has moved. When we moved here, we knew nobody. We'd only come here for one reason, and that was prior to moving here, and that was to survey the area and see if that's what God really wanted us to do. And God, my wife had, wherever we moved, my wife had a stipulation that Walmart, there had to be a Walmart nearby. Now, personally, I hate Walmart. But my wife loves Walmart. So one of her stipulations was there had to be a Walmart close by, wherever we moved to. My stipulation was, God, wherever we moved to, I need three things. One, I want a place where we can reach lost people. Oh my goodness. What do we have in New York? They're lost. Two, God, I want longevity. Wherever I move to, God, I want longevity. because it takes time to plant and get involved and get involved in people's lives. I remember when we first moved here, a lady asked me, she met me and I go, hey, I'm Pastor John, and you know, we came here to start a church and blah, blah, blah. And her first question was, so when are you leaving? That was her first question to me. It wasn't even hello, hey, how you doing? And it wasn't even that nice. There was another word that was in there that I can't repeat. And I went, hopefully not for a long time. Hopefully you get saved, and hopefully no. And so I said, God, I want longevity wherever it is. I want to reach the people, and I want them to know I love them, and I want them to know Jesus loves them. And then my third one, which was probably the most spiritual of the three, God, wherever you send me, I'll go. But God, it's got to have great roads for riding my motorcycle. Give me that. I'm not kidding you. Those were my three things. And you know what? God gave me all three. Longevity, obviously, that's, we have to wait and see what happens there. But so far, God's given me all three. And so when I sat back and I looked, man, God gives me exactly what I asked for. I remember surrendering in a parking lot over at was it Best Western in Clifton Park off the exit 9. And I remember weeping like a baby, and I said, God, I will move here, because he made it so clear. I said, God, I will move here. But God, listen, when I want to take my kids out to dinner, I want to have the money to do that. I don't want to be rich, but of course, if you want to see that happen, I'm good with that. But God, I want to be able to take my family out to dinner when I want to go out to dinner. God, I want to be able to pay every bill when it comes in the door, because God, I am committed to living debt-free and honoring you with my testimony. God, I want, God, to be able to take care of my family. And I don't want them to hate the church because the church has stressed us. And he's given me that. I think of the praise and the blessing. And man, God has been so good. He has honored everything I asked for in the parking lot. But I sold out to him too. You see what I'm saying? I didn't just ask for it and then not give him anything in return. I gave him me. And he honored me and my wife and my kids. And he's blessing us. And it has been so good. And so, as I look and I think about praising God and why we should praise God, man, he has been so good. You know, when we came here, we rode around. You guys have met or know Pastor Duke Herget. I met him for the first time when we came out here to survey the area. And I said, God, if this is where you want me, listen, I am thick-headed, and you're going to have to hit me with a 2x4, because it's going to take a great deal to move me to New York. Not because, mainly because I don't like snow. I don't want to shovel snow, and I don't like salt, and I like to take care of my stuff, and I don't like rust holes in it, and I don't like salt. I don't like snow. I like snow as long as there's no salt, and I don't have to shovel the driveway. So, God, let it snow in the grass only. Amen. Amen. Everybody's for that prayer, right? And I said, God, if you want me here, you're gonna have to make it clear. And I remember, this is so interesting. I was thinking about it as I was thinking about why should I praise God. And I remember we drove around for hours that day. We met Pastor Duke over at the Best Western at 9 o'clock in the morning, over off exit 9. And we started out at 9 in the morning, and we drove and drove and drove. We were in the car almost 8 hours that day. We drove through every little town, hamlet, city, whatever. Of course, they all run together. The only thing that separates them is a sign. And so it was about 2 in the afternoon, 2:30. And I remember we were coming down 4. At the time, I didn't know the name of the roads. Coming down Route 4. And we hit the red light, turn right. We were coming down this way. And God said, this is home. This is where I want you. And I remember looking at this building. And I said, okay, God, I'm yours. That was about 2:30 in the afternoon. I remember asking Duke, I said, where are we at? And he said, East Greenbush. I said, okay. That was all that was said. We get back to the hotel. It's about 6 o'clock at night. And I said, I asked my wife, I said, babe, still call her babe, if God were to call us out here, where would it be? She said, East Greenbush. And I went, where were you when you got that idea? She said, well, we were coming down this road, went down this little dip. There was a True Value on your left, a Pizza Hut on your right, and a red light there. And coming up to the red light, God said, this is home. So technically, he told her before he told me. It's about the third time that's happened. I'm not appreciating it. And I remember just sitting there on the bed in the hotel room, weeping like a woman. I went all emotional because I knew right then God had called us out here. That, literally that intersection is what has kept us here so many times when we've wanted to run. Okay, when I wanted to run. I'll clarify. My wife, every time she goes, God's not done with us here. I'm like, I don't like you right now. Because I knew in my heart that God, he called us in here for longevity. But I'll be honest with you, I've wanted to run sometimes, and I praise God for stopping me. You're not going nowhere. Get over yourself, get back in the saddle, we got work to do. And that's what he would tell me all the time. And I'd go, but God, I'm okay. And I'd get back in the saddle, and we'd go to work again. When I think of everything the way God put it together, the only reason we're here today is because God's hand is on this church. God's hand is on us. And God is putting this together. And God deserves our praise and our honor and our glory for everything that he has done. Everything. And wow, we get so caught up in forgetting God. There's an author, Dallas Willard, and he says this, we want to do what is right, but avoid living the life that would make it so. We're like the athlete that wants to win the race but never trains, lives the life for it. We want the blessing of God, but we don't want to bless God with our lives. But yet we expect it. And so then it gets very difficult to praise God because we're not living for God, and then God's not blessing us. And so then we have a tendency to go, who are you, God? You could have done this and you could have done that. And you know, I think about when my mom died. My dad died when I was 24. My mom died when I was 32. Ballpark. And I remember when my mom died, my brother was walking with God up until my mother died. When my mother died, he has not walked with God since. He is just now starting to get back into the church. He is just now starting to stop and see the world's not all about him. But I remember when my mom died, all of a sudden, he had this anger for God. God, you could have stopped that. My mom was 55 when she died. My dad was 52. So if I'm going according to record, you guys have me for about seven to ten more years. So I'm kidding. I'm healthier than my parents were. I pray. Anyway. I'll leave the frat pays alone when I realize they're hurting me. But he got angry. He got angry at God. And you know, I think sometimes when things happen in our life because we're not used to praising God, we're not used to glorifying God because we don't live our lives for God, then we get angry at God when something bad happens in our life. And I'm telling you, we shouldn't get angry. We should see where the blessing is because God entrusted us enough to go through what we're going through. You know, he trusted Job. He said, Satan, you have moved me against Job, a man of integrity, a man who deserves not to go through this, and yet you have incited me to move against Job. And he still retains his integrity. If anybody, Job could have got really angry at God. But he didn't, man. He held on to God because he knew when everything washed, it was just God and God alone that was going to still be standing there. And I think the reason that we get mad at God or we don't walk the Christian life is because we don't praise him. We don't walk with him. And then when something bad happens, he's the first we can accuse because in reality, we know he controls everything. See how it all goes back? I find it interesting that without praise, your life is incomplete. Your walk is incomplete. Without praise, you're incomplete. Look at this. I want everybody to turn to Luke chapter 17. Go to Luke chapter 17. It's Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke. All right, Malachi. I don't want anybody to walk out going, hey, I've seen the book of Malachi. Luke chapter 17. Don't stray, you'll get lost. Okay, Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'm going to show you the completion of... I want this off the screen. I want everybody in their Bibles. Take it off the screen, please. Just put up the nice picture of Nehemiah. I want everybody in their Bibles because I want you marking something here. I want you highlighting. I want you to take note because, listen, I want you to see that this is... Oh, and if you got one of the church's Bibles, don't mark in it. And I want you to see I want you to see that completion comes with praise. That's what I want you to see today. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village there, met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. By the way, this is Jesus who's traveling. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They've heard of his deliverance. They heard of him healing. And they realize who he is. And they go, I want you to deliver me. Look here at 13 and they or 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. You notice every time that Jesus would heal somebody, they had to do something. Do you notice that? They had to exercise faith. They could have said, I'm not going to no priest. What's a priest going to do to me? I've been there before. I'm still a leper, you know. But he said, go to the priest. And they went to the priest. Look here in 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed... Because it says, 14. He said, when he saw them, he said, go to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A dog. That's what a Samaritan is. They would call Samaritans dogs. You know why? Because they were mixed breed, if you will. They weren't pure blood Israelites or Jews. They were Samaritans. They were Jew-Gentile mixed. Dogs. They referenced them as dogs. Even in the Bible, they referenced them as dogs. Jesus even called the lady who came to him to be healed, called her a dog. So they're pointing out that, look, even a dog had enough to come back and say thank you. Look here. 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I love the question. Where are the 9? I healed 10. I cleaned 10. I delivered 10. Where are the 9? Only one is appreciative of what I've done. Where are the 9? Man, you know, we say, I love Jesus, but we do nothing for him. You're the 9. You love what he does, but you don't really praise him for what he does. You're the 9. Look here, 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan, this dog who's not even my own? He's not a Jew. He's not my chosen people. He's a foreigner, and yet he came back and said, thank you. Look here in 19. The capstone, the completion, the deliverance. Listen, 19, verse 19. Guys, don't miss this. And he said to him, and Jesus said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Do you realize that, listen, Jesus healed him of the leprosy, but his faith healed him of life. Guys, we miss it when we don't praise God. We miss the capstone. We miss the filling of it. We miss, kind of like when we're doing the work over there, if we don't put the trim up, then it's really not finished, right? You got your house with no trim? I know we do, baby. You got your house with no trim? What's the problem there? It's unfinished. Praising Jesus is the trim. It's the capstone. It's the finishing of the work. And so when you fail to praise God, you have failed to finish the work, the job. And that's what the Israelites were doing there. When they come back, they're coming back so they can praise God. They can put the capstone on for his glory and his goodness and his blessing and his deliverance and his taking care of them. Even though they went through trials to get there, man, they're praising God for it. They're putting the capstone on. Guys, you need to praise God. If you're not, you're missing it. You're one of the nine. I want to be the tenth one. I want to be the one who comes back and says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the little, and thank you for the big, and thank you for the whole. Man, I look at the message of the 10 lepers. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? 10 were cleansed. One was healed. Think about that. 10 were cleansed. 10 was no more leprosy. They were cleansed. But one was healed. The finished work. Healed. And the only reason he was healed is because he remembered to praise and thank Jesus for it. You know, sometimes we think, and by the way, this is the woe is me thinkers. Well, what do I got to praise Jesus for? I got nothing but headache in my life. Let's give you a little bit of leukemia. And then you think back about how good it was before you got that. You'll praise Jesus. Let's just go ahead and cause your car to break down and you got to walk a mile to work. And all of a sudden a snowstorm kicks up. You'll praise Jesus for that car. Your house warm, bed cozy. You see, there's a lot to praise Jesus for, and I think sometimes we get lost. Your family, man, guys, we need to praise Jesus for what we have. You know, because of our sins, we're lepers. But God cleansed us, and that brings me, to the last point. The last point is really very short. Somebody say amen. Because I didn't know I'd get here because I was going lengthy on point one. The power of praise. The power of praise, guys. I didn't want to just tell you what it looked like and show you the lepers because all that is really, really good and strong and powerful. But I want to give you an example of how God delivers when he's praised. I want you to see it. You got to grab hold of this. Jehoshaphat was under attack. Go to 2 Chronicles. I don't want it up on the screen. I want people to turn their Bibles. 2 Chronicles. Old Testament. Just start looking in the 1st and 2nd Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. You'll get there. The first half inch to inch of your Bible, unless you got a study Bible, then it's the first 4 inches of your Bible. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. Verse 18. 18 through 22. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 18 through 22. Oh, this is good, guys. Jehoshaphat's getting ready to go into, he's under attack. He's calling out to God. He realizes that without God's help, he won't be delivered. So I want you to see what happens here. 2 Chronicles 20, 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, worshiping the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. When the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall... And by the way, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in all caps, is just left me. Wow. Jehovah. Sorry, it's Jehovah. So he's saying, listen, praise the Jehovah God, the Lord God of Israel, with voices loud and high. So in 20, he says, believe in the Jehovah your God, or the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Now the praise starts here. And who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Now stop right there for a second. Here's what you got. You have Jehoshaphat. He's getting ready to go into war. He realizes that he can be conquered here. He realizes that he can be overwhelmed. And he realizes without the hand of God, he is doomed. And so what does he do? He tells all of his people, the city, the army, everything, listen, believe in the Lord God Jehovah, and you shout to him and you praise him and you glorify him all the way out so that everybody can hear you. Now, we're afraid to say Jesus out loud because somebody might hear us. Unless, of course, we're in church where it's acceptable. That's a box I'm not going to get on. All right. 22. Thank you. I got to find it. 22. There we go. He says here, now when they began to sing, and now get this, guys, you might even want to highlight this in your Bible, not the church's Bible, but yours. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. The Lord God sent ambushes that defeated their enemies. Now wait here in 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Okay, in case you missed that, I want you to grab hold of it here real quick. Here's what happens. They go out, they're going to fight. And then their enemies rise up. You have Mount Seir and you got Moab. And they're going to fight against the Israelites. But for some reason, God sets up an ambush. But for some reason, God's ambush. I want you to see God's totally involved in this. They rise up and the two armies that are supposed to fight the Israelites end up fighting one another. Isn't that what it said here in 23? And when they made up, so Mount Seir, after they defeat the other army, they turn against each other and kill their own and wipe out their whole army. The Israelites didn't raise a hand to fight and won. Did you get it? Why? What did they do before they went into war? They praised God. They praised him loud and proud. And God delivered them. Guys, praising is the capstone that finishes the relationship that we have with our Savior. And if you just take and you don't thank and thank, you've missed it. Man, they praised God and God delivered them. There was so much plunder at the end, they couldn't even carry it all away with the gold and everything because God said, listen, you can have the plunder. You can have what's left over. God blessed them. He delivered them and then he blessed them. Why? Because they praised him. Guys, I'm telling you, we need to praise God. And it's not coming to church going, well, I don't get nothing out of the music. Put something into it. That's what it's about. I don't get nothing out of the Word of God. Put something into it. I love when people go, Pastor, I'm not getting fed. It's because you're not eating. I'm not offended by you telling me I'm not feeding you. You're not eating. You can't come to Connecting Point Church and say, I'm not being fed. Really? I don't believe that. I can't accept that. No, not because of pride, but because you're not eating. And I realize your fault. Okay, anyway. Look, and so I want you to see that praise releases the power of God to work in your life. Praise releases the power of God to do the miracle in your life. Are you praising God? Do you want the power or are you choosing to walk around powerless? It's here to him, one-on-one. Are you praising God? Praise him through the good, praise him through the bad, just praise him. You know why? Because if you do that, the good and the bad won't overwhelm you because he'll have you. You know what I'm saying? Do you want the power of God? You need to praise him. But here's the thing. If you don't know God as your Savior, you can't praise him. You won't. You'll find it foolishness. As a matter of fact, you'll find everything I said foolishness. You need to know God as your personal Savior. You need to know God the Father is your Father and Jesus as your Savior. But if Jesus isn't your Savior, God's not your Father. It's just kind of how it works. You say, well, how do I solve that? It's real easy. You pray this prayer. The prayer doesn't save you. Listen, the prayer is kind of a roadmap to guide you through the process. It's your heart condition that saves you. Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you want to be saved by your sins? Do you recognize you need a Savior? Do you believe Jesus Christ conquered death and hell and the grave and he rose and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father today? Well, if you believe that and you want him to be your Savior, then you invite him into your life. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I realize I have done so much wrong. But I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I believe you died to forgive me of my sins and make a way for me to get to heaven. And that only through you, I can get there. And so today, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Invite you into my life, into my heart. I surrender all so that heaven will be my home.